A sermon recorded online on Sunday, the 19th of April. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The practice of reflecting on life's experiences can be a richly positive way to develop, both personally and spiritually. Bring God into it, and it has a new dimension altogether. So this morning's Gospel reading from Luke, telling the story of two disciples' thoughts and discussions on the road to Emmaus, is a good example of this process of reflection. We recognise what's happening to the disciples, they realise its meaning, and they react to it in a way that, in this case, will change their lives. Recognition, realisation, and reaction. Three steps along the way. Before considering those disciples, here's a more mundane, everyday situation to see how the reflective discipline can work. And this is just an example. 1. I want to travel to London. 2. I research the alternatives. Train, bus, plane, car. Taking into account journey times and length of travel. Parking options, environmental impact, and so on. And 3. When I come home again, I consider whether I did in fact take the most suitable option and ask myself if I would have done it differently if given another chance. Those three steps are a form of reflection, and we might be surprised actually to see just how frequently the pattern of reflection might fall into our daily lives. The story from Luke, however, is far more worthy of reflective practice because it teaches us spiritually. So just as the disciples reflected, let us reflect on their experience. Firstly, the happening. The two disciples in the story, Cleopas and one other, not of the main body of 11 apostles, but of the wider group of followers, are coming away from Jerusalem on Easter day. They are walking away from the strangeness of it all, the great sadness and disappointment of the crucifixion, and the missing part of the puzzle, which is the truth of the resurrection, not yet widely known nor understood. Overwhelmed by their own problems, they are actually walking in the wrong direction, away from the fellowship of believers in Jerusalem. As they travelled along the road to Emmaus, they were discussing the events of the past few days, but really not making much sense of them. And then they are joined by a third person, Jesus, although they are not able to recognise him at this point. They are invited and encouraged to describe the events of Holy Week to this apparent stranger. And he, in turn, explains how the events are all part of God's greater story, the revelation, reasoning, and truth told in the scriptures. It's a formidable piece of teaching. Jesus involving his students in connecting what they already knew from history and from their Jewish background, to what is to them a brand new revelation of God in the events of the past few days. Good teaching involves sharing. Sharing of experience, feeling, knowledge, and a willingness and an openness to new things. And Jesus shares himself. So Jesus takes time to share his story with them so that by the time they reach the village of Emmaus, the tables are beginning to turn and the disciples do not wish to see him go. They want to know more. And they are now able to invite him into their lives, into their homes, to share their hospitality. The unfolding of Jesus' identity reaches its critical point. He breaks bread with them, and in that moment, they recognise him. Would they have done so a few hours previously? No. It took care and gentleness for Jesus to unveil himself before them. It took a while for the fire in their hearts to be stoked. And at the moment of recognition, Jesus disappeared from their sight, his job done. Jesus has waited to be invited in. And once that happens, the disciples are equipped to share the story with others. So they immediately rush straight back the 7 miles to Jerusalem, in the right direction this time. So that's the first part of the reflection, thinking about what has happened in this story, the recognition. We move on now to the why, the probing questions that will build into the realization. Why do we have this story in the Gospel immediately after the first sighting of the risen Jesus by the women believers early on Easter morning? Because those first witnesses were crucial to the news being spread, understood, and accepted. For many, understanding the resurrection may involve 4 stages of belief. At first, they might think it's a made-up fantasy without any foundation. Then they might check out the facts, but still remain puzzled because of their own limited understanding and experience, as with Peter when he went to the empty tomb that same morning. Then they personally encounter Jesus, as did the 2 Emmaus disciples. And then, as they commit their lives to Jesus, they fully realise his presence. Those first disciples followed this process, and I know that many others today experience similar as they come to faith. So by asking why, we find the importance of looking for the truth, of listening for the truth, of walking with others and sharing their stories. We learn to open our hearts and minds to find a much deeper and richer meaning. This reasoning can be resourced and fed by our worship, by our prayer, by our reading, and by our thankfulness to God for all his great gifts to us. We may be fortunate enough to be graced with 1 or more light bulb moments when we realise the truth of God's story. But it doesn't stop there, because even light bulbs require a continuous source of energy to keep shining. So the final piece of our reflection this morning is in our reaction, our own reaction to the disciples' experiences. It might be emotional, sharing their feelings, and culminating in joy in the knowledge of the risen Lord. It might be a nudge not to be complacent. After all, the story is very familiar, and we know that the gospel message became a fire in the hearts of early believers. But we need to keep stoking that fire so that we might encourage others by sharing what we have as Christians. It might also be a clear call to us to reflect on where God is now in our lives, and where he might be leading us further into relationship with him, in a rich and rewarding service. The story is also a message for us not to become swamped by problems in our own lives. If we become overwhelmed, we may shut Jesus out, and we may cut ourselves off from the great support and strength of other believers. If we look for Jesus in our midst, however, we will be greatly encouraged and fortified to cope with whatever's not right in our lives. To quote from our next hymn, which is Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. We are pilgrims on a journey, fellow travellers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. One further reaction to the story. The meal shared by Jesus and these 2 disciples is at the centre of the revelation of the new creation, the new order of things with Jesus raised from the dead. The disciples were filled with joy. And we should be too, to be excited by hope as we come to know Jesus through sharing a simple meal in communion with one another. The road to Emmaus is just the beginning. Carefully listening to Bible readings and hearing God's voice in Scripture, knowing Jesus through the breaking of bread, praying and inviting him into ourselves is the road to faith. Something to reflect on, surely. Amen.